שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello Dr. Lightman.
שלום לכם.
שלום שלום.
Hello, hello.
שלום.
Hello, יעל שדראל. Hello.
313 ואנחנו נשוחח.
And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about family education for love. We're parents, we have children, we want to teach them how to love on our way to a better and more connected life. Yael, please. On our previous shows, we talked a lot about communication within the family. And we heard you say that actually there's a need for teaching how to love, education for love. We talked about communication, but the basis for everything is for parents to teach their children how to love in the family, and later what we learn in the family is what we do in life. And on this show, we'd like to understand, what does it mean to educate for love, out of love? How do you do it? And the question we'd like to begin with is about communication from love. What does it mean to communicate out of love? I think that the only way to educate is through example. And the example has to be given or set by the parents ceaselessly. Examples have to be given by parents ceaselessly. When Oren says that we have children, we love our children, we want to raise our children, we're doing everything for our children, everything's great besides one thing, that all the time, there is need to think about this. Oh, and about what, Dr. Lightman? About our children. That the behavior they learn from the behavior, from the way their parents interact, behave, the examples that they give, and this is what's left with them for life, even when they'll be grown-ups, even when they'll be older than their parents that gave them an example sometime in life. Nonetheless, the examples that they took from their parents will be left with them till the very end. And therefore, we need to make sure that there is a good family that gives an example to the children, and accordingly, the children grow up and continue it, communicate it to their generation, the future generation. And there is no other way of how to raise them besides through example. Before we come to how do we do it, we'd like to first of all understand, what do we want to educate them for? Dr. Lightman, you have to decide. Yael, so this is what we're asking. What do we want to teach them? What kind of love? What kind of upbringing? What kind of child would we like to eventually have? Dr. Lightman, we'd like to eventually have a child that takes life seriously, in a balanced way, that knows how to relate to other people, those that are closer, those that are further away, that if we want to know how will he educate our grandchildren, then this is what we have to show him in our attitude towards him. Yeah, and how is it different than what we have today? Because throughout the shows, one of the things you mentioned is that we're not educated correctly, and this is one of the reasons for which we do not raise our children properly or correctly. So we don't even have the right picture that we should aim for. So what does it mean to educate out of love, toward love? What don't we know? We don't know how to give a proper example. First of all, consent between parents, completion between parents. What is the right or correct completion consent between spouses? First of all, you never argue in front of the kids. It's forbidden to show that they disagree about something with one another. But they always appear not two as one, but two as two that are in consent between them. Similar to being one, but still, nonetheless, they're always two. That the child knows that he has two parents, and that both of them, as if are in the same opinion. It's like a thing and it's opposite. This is what we want to show. And kids take that as an example, and it's left with them for life, whether they like it or not. That's how it is. When they disagree about something, because there are different situations in the family where we disagree over. Suddenly something happens. Dr. Lightman, it's forbidden to show it to children. So if one of the parents responds in a certain way, the other parent flows with them. Dr. Lightman, keep silent. At least don't show that you think the opposite. Yeah, is there an age which you do show? Doctor, like, no, at all ages. Even when the parents are 80 and the kids are 60, doesn't matter. Still together. Yeah, and how is it different? You're talking about completion and respecting each other. Doctor Lightman, it's based on the condition of man and woman, divinity between them, which means that man and woman, their connection is stronger than each of them on their own. Do we have to tell the children something, or just, Dr. Lipton, just show an example? You can tell a child that you are sure that dad thinks the same too. Yeah, to show the single opinion despite there being two people, Dr. Levin. It's not one opinion, but it's two opinions as one. Yeah, meaning what, Dr. Levin? That it's not one, that it's not that this is how they necessarily think, but they have the same opinion because they're a couple. Yeah. And from this starting point, when we turn to education, what does communication inside the family look like? Dr. Lightman, communication inside the family is that the parents always have the same opinion, and this is what they want to show their children and set such an example for their children. Even now that they're small, when they don't have a spouse or something yet, they have to be as if they have the same opinion. Oh, and who? Dr. Lightman. Children between them. Because they come from the same parents. So the result is that the children have the same opinion too. Each can have his own character, his own inclinations, his own something, but still their attitude toward life, toward connection, toward whatever there is in life. In that, they're very similar and close. Owen, what does it mean about the relations between the children themselves? How do they treat each other? What kind of communication is there between them? Where our motto as parents is to bring the two to have the same opinion. Dr. Leitman, that they all try. It's not even an effort for them that they try to be as one and to connect to one another in such a way in order to become as one. According to that same rule of man and woman, divinity between them, this is what you project onto children too. Owen, in the optimum way, how is that expressed between the children? Dr. Leitman, that they too try to be in consent with one another and to mutually support each other. Yael, kids then are more obedient or what, Dr. Leitman? Not only obedient, they simply feel that they came from one nest.
Yael,
these children, they, in the morning, they go to school, they go to kindergarten, they come home, they use foul language, Dr. Leitman. They go to school and to different so-called educational facilities and come back from there with different bad thoughts and words. So at home, against that, we have to see what is going on with them, what kind of deviation did they get as a result of going to these educational or education institutions, and we have to correct it as much as we can. Yeah, what do? We say that these words are improper? Dr. Leitman, no, we don't say anything about their words or about anything. We simply give them a good example against what we feel that they caught one or another kind of virus there and brought it home. Oh, and suppose he says a word that I never used or no one ever used at home. He brought it from outside into our home. Terrible word. I hear him use this word. First of all, I get a heart attack. This is the flower that I've raised. It could be some swearing. It could be some, you know, usually it's to someone else, you know, all inflated, condescending. I see it. What do I do? It's the first time I saw this happen. What do? Oh, and up until now, I gave him good examples, and suddenly this. How do I deal with it, Dr. Leitman? Well, of course, he immediately catches bad examples because they're easy. They come from his friends, from those that he takes an example from. It's not natural to take an example from grown-ups. So what follows is, subtly, I see several options here. First of all, whatever he said that sounds foul, I have to take that sentence and to try and turn it into something good, into a good sentence. And to explain it to him in some way. I can even sit him down like you're sitting and writing now and tell him, Owen, my beloved child, let's write nicely what you just said. Right? And then he writes this sentence down, what he said, only in a good and nice way. And that's how we write this sentence and leave it on the paper the next day or a day after. Again, there's something, and we do it again. And this way, over time, suppose over a period of several weeks, our page is filled up with sentences that are bad and that are good. We have like a vocabulary. I want to go back a bit. We said that we have two parents, that between them, they have two different opinions. but that are as one. They have two opinions, not different opinions. They have two opinions that are as one. And they only show how they complete each other and their partnership, etc., verbally and also by setting a personal example. And now there's a new baby born into this family. What are they supposed to do as two parents in order to start teaching this child how to reach love, so that this child will, Dr. Lightman, so between them there has to be a consent that at home they try to all the time generate a calm atmosphere of completion, willingness, always coming closer, attention. Yeah, from what age does a child start understanding it, Dr. Lightman, even before he's born? Yeah, during the pregnancy feels these things, Dr. Lightman. Of course, yeah. And it starts sinking in there already. That's interesting. Now, in life, we have different conflicts with the children, too, Dr. Lightman. We're making it so on purpose that there won't be. Yeah, what do you mean? He doesn't want to shower. He's sitting in the back of the car, shouting, screaming. I have to drive the car, and he's bugging his brother. Just an example, but, you know, situations from life where the parents start getting mad, and at first he explains, then it turns into yelling, and everything becomes unpleasant at home, etc. What do you do in these situations where the child's still small? Dr. Lightman, if he's still small, you do what you need to do with him. That's it. You pay no attention to him yelling and doing something, but if we're sure that we're right and that this is how things have to be done, then this is how we do them. If he doesn't want to hear, he's yelling and suddenly, you know, goes wild, fine, we continue with what we're doing. Yeah, so at what age do we begin, Dr. Lightman? But it's education, that we show him that there are things that we have no choice, but we do what we need to do. Yeah, and how do I know as a mother that I acted from a place of love and I don't go into that place of anger, Dr. Lightman? If it's calculated that this is how this is what I'm supposed to do, then that's what I do. Yeah, what should I tell myself in order to remain in that place that you describe, Dr. Lightman, that I'm really in an educational process? Yael, what is the harm done, Dr. Lightman? There is no harm. The child starts saying that he has no choice and that he needs to be in this process, and it won't help him to erupt and yell, won't help him. Yael, until what age? What you're saying now, is it correct? More or less, Dr. Lightman. He has to see your opinion as much as possible, as much as it's going on. Let's hope that it will be so until 120. Yeah. Now, you're saying that there's no room for anger in education, Dr. Lightman. No? What for? Yeah, so a parent has to know how to take his anger and to turn it into something more educational, something more proper, and he tells himself that now I'm educating my child, so I need what? Dr. Lightman, what do you mean? What do you mean? What? I need to do what I need to do. And the child has to understand that I have no choice, that I too am in a certain framework, and this is how I need to act. Yeah, do I also have to say things in parallel, or especially do, Dr. Lightman, more do than say? But after I do, I need to see here and there, how do I insert a few educational words into it, like a lesson, the lesson learned, as if I'm not telling him, but I'm telling myself what I'm doing. Yael, and if I look at the difference between this and the education that we have today, meaning today too, a large part of parents' guidance is not to get mad at children. How is it different than the education that we have today? Dr. Lightman, I don't know about today's education, what goes on. I have no idea about it. What you have today is something that you didn't have yesterday or the day before, and it changes every day according to whoever is maybe politically chosen for the Ministry of Education. I don't know, does it change according to what? People change all the time and change their attitude to education. Yeah, what are the principles of this education? What should my child come out with? Dr. Lightman, first of all, the parents are parents. There's no difference between them. These are two that are as one. The children are under their parents, and the parents accept their children in a very important way for life, and also demand that. But this is also the demand toward the children for them to accept their parents as their upper force. And the parents, they give an example in everything. And that what they're doing is correct, and that this is how they pass it on to their children. And the children get from both parents, as from one, that this is what comes to them from the upper force. Owen, if you erupted, you got angry at your child, should you ask for his forgiveness? Dr. Lightman, it's very dependent. It depends, really. It's not. It's better not to ask for forgiveness, but to explain the measure to which he brought me to anger, that I couldn't hold myself back, but not that I'm asking for his forgiveness. Oh, and so he's to blame? Dr. Lightman, you see? Oh, and so I blame him. Dr. Lightman, I don't say that, but that's the feeling. I explained to him that I, as a parent who wants to teach him and to bring him to good states, and with all of my, you know, I'm a human being too, and I get aggravated, etc., and I couldn't calm myself down, and you know, I erupted, and it's not good, but that's what happened to me. What is a child supposed to take from this? He's supposed to take from it that it's not good that I erupt as a parent. It's not good for the child to bring me to this condition where I erupt, and that both of us regret it happening, that it happened, but not that I ask for his forgiveness. Why not, by the way? It's not good. It's not good. I didn't see such an example in any of our sources from previous generations. It's not the proper approach. Because parents, they need to be almost like God. And there is no such thing that forgiveness or asking for forgiveness comes from their degree. Oh, and why, Dr. Lightman? Because what they're doing, it's like the Creator too. He gets mad and yells at the nation of Israel, but it is all eventually in order to educate them and to their benefit. Yael, and how do you communicate this message that everything that's done, even if it seems harmful to them, that it harms them, how do you communicate the message that everything that we do as parents is to their benefit? Dr. Lightman, only out of these kinds of examples indirectly. Yael, from what age can they grasp this? Dr. Leitman, depends on the parents. Yael, because I have a feeling about my children that only when they're more grown up they start understanding, Dr. Leitman, of course. They nonetheless have to be at an age where they can already digest these things. But in that too, it is possible to bring certain examples out of which they will understand that the parents, even though that they erupt, and their eruption is a result of the children crossing a certain boundary, and there was no more room to keep things moderate. Oh, and if it's a result of me being a screwed-up father, I have no patience, I'm crude, and I feel that it's because of that, Dr. Leitman, then you too need to go. You need to learn how to be a dad, Owen, for sure. But life isn't black or white. You don't start teaching me and immediately I become perfect. So when I'm in this process as a dad who wants to improve, and obviously I'm not perfect, I want to improve, I feel that in relation to the child, I made a mistake now. How do I made a mistake. I feel it. You taught me something. I went home. I tried to be the best possible, you know, what I wrote down. But, you know, the only thing that came out was that I erupted. Now, the child, he saw it. It registered in him. I see it as a bad example. What I gave him is a bad example. It's the opposite. Dr. Leitman, you have to turn it into a proper example that dad is also allowed to get mad, like the upper force, the creator, that also gets mad at the nation of Israel, and by that, he gives them their boundaries, that there are things that, you know, it's forbidden for us to bring him to that kind of state. Look at Providence, the way it takes care of us. Oh, and what do I do about my feeling that I did not function the way you taught me to? I was a bad dad, obviously. What do I do? Dr. Leitman, you have to show the kids that it is all very human, and we all have to understand this and help each other not to breach these boundaries. Oh, and meaning I'm human too, Dr. Leitman. Yeah, you too, and your children. Oh, and I'm asking them to help me too. Dr. Leitman, no, I don't ask that much. I show them that it's better for us not to bring each other to extreme situations. Oh, and last question. You said that all of us, we asked you, what is the purpose, the goal of educating for love? You said that all of us try to be as one, even though that we, the parents, were different, were two. The children, you're different too. Each of you is an individual, but we try to be as one. Trying to be as one, this is the goal that I have to keep in mind in any kind of communication, Dr. Leitman. In any kind of communication, and it's more important than feeling that we're really as one. Trying to be as one, there are many corrections about it. There's lots of force that corrects everything here. Oh, and what does it mean to try to be as one? Dr. Leitman, that we all the time try to bring our opinions, desires, point of views, thoughts closer together in a way that we see what's different and what is that state where it's similar, that it is as one, that we want to come to. Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.